Hey, Dr. Mike here. Did you know that your blood sugar can spike overnight? Stay tuned to find out why and how to control it.
You're listening to Live Foreverish, a show dedicated to helping you live just a little longer. Here's your hosts, Dr. Mike and Dr. Crystal Gosser.
All right, welcome to Live Foreverish. So you may be aware that your blood sugar rises after you eat. Well, you should be.
It should.
Yeah.
Hopefully it
yeah.
does.
Yeah, I mean, and that's good. It's part of life, right? You got to have that. You got to have some sugar. But did you know that can actually that can happen like fasting during the night?
Yeah, you know, there's this thing, it's not here in our notes, but it just came to me that that might be a reason why some people wake up and they eat at night, like because of fluctuations. Anyway.
Interesting.
So side note.
So what's basically, just before we dive into this, because it's a little complicated, right? You know, what the normal pattern of sugar, and this is not, this is like, don't, you're not eating, but your body will still do this. You wake up and there's a little spike of sugar, and that comes from your liver, right? And then that drops, right? And then when you go to bed, there's actually a little dip in blood sugar, right? And that's kind of the normal circadian rhythm of sugar, right? Now, obviously, when you eat, there's going to be a little more spikes in there and stuff like that. But even if you don't, the liver is always going to make sure you have enough sugar to make energy. It's important. Yeah. But it keeps it in a nice, tight, restricted range.
Yeah.
That's the normal thing.
It kind of peaks when you wake, during waking hours. And then it's lower when you're sleeping. So, yes, that is that that circadian control of blood sugar, just like, you know, the circadian rhythms control so many other physiological processes in the body.
But then comes along this thing called the dawn phenomenon.
I know.
So this is where it gets a little like, what's going on here? So just real quick, the dawn phenomenon is, it's, forget that normal pattern, because instead of that normal pattern, we're seeing spikes at night.
And this is in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It can, as early as 3 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, you're sleeping. You're not, there's no food. You're definitely in a fasting, sleeping state.
Yeah. So the question is, where is this sugar coming from?
What's going on? How is all this happening? And they are noticing this. So, you know, if you're a diabetic, this is something you want to pay attention to. Talk to your doctor about this, because those kind of spikes can be very hard. Anytime you have sugar spikes, right? We like to minimize those, because those can be dangerous.
Right. And those spikes, whenever they're happening in the middle of the night, during the day, is contributing to the A1C level. Mm-hmm. So some people are seeing, they go to their doctor, they, you know, every 3 months or however often they're getting their levels tested, and their A1C is elevated, and they're saying, "Hey, doc, I'm kind of controlling this. What's happening? Why is this elevated?" So the overall glucose burden is higher in those individuals.
Yeah, and when we say that, we're talking about people who don't have diabetes. Mm-hmm. So you have people, you got diabetics who need to think about this, but then I guess kind of all of us. We need to question, let me say it this way. Mm-hmm. Do I need to think about the dawn phenomenon? Is that happening to me? Is it happening to you, Dr. Crystal? Is it happening to Robson and Hannah over there? Right? Yeah. We need to think about that, because again, those spikes over time can cause damage.
Yeah.
Right?
Very true.
So what do we think is happening with this dawn phenomenon? Because it doesn't match the normal circadian rhythm. What's the theories floating around out there?
Several theories, Dr. Mike. One is that, of course, the liver, it stores your glucose for times of fasting.
Of course.
It's stored as glycogen. So during your overnight period of fasting, that liver's slowly releasing the glucose, right? From the cells into the bloodstream. When that happens, insulin is supposed to come in and shuttle that glucose into cells that need it, other cells, you know, that may need like your kidneys, that may need some
energy
to run and keep doing its job during the overnight fast. So the one thought is is this a pancreatic issue? Is the pancreas not making the insulin? You kind of see this with type 1 diabetics often, or people who've been diabetic for long time.
So like just so everybody knows, so if the pancreas is not making enough of the insulin, and you have these normal spikes, because the liver is trying to, you know, you got to have energy. Cells, kidneys, let's use kidneys. They still got to do their job even if you're sleeping.
Right.
You still make urine. That's why you wake up and you go pee.
Or the brain.
I mean, yeah, your heart's still pumping. Your lungs are still breathing, right? So you still need that. So the liver is, okay, I got to keep us alive. Here's some sugar. And at night, if the pancreas is sleeping and not responding right, that builds up.
Right.
Because insulin is needed to drive that into the cell.
So that's option one, or theory one.
Okay.
Or reason one. Reason two, maybe there's no issue. The pancreas is making the insulin. The insulin is there, but your cells aren't responding to that insulin. We call that insulin resistance.
Yeah, a sensitivity issue.
A sensitivity issue where it's just not sensing that this insulin is here. It's not, the insulin's knocking at the door.
Well, wait,
the door's not opening.
Hold on now.
Okay.
If that's the case, is the dawn phenomenon in healthy people who don't have diabetes, is it an early sign?
That's what researchers think.
Diabetes?
Yeah, that's what researchers think. If this is happening, maybe it's a clue that maybe you're dealing with pre-diabetes.
It's time to really start doing something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one theory. Now, we also talked about the catecholamine.
This is the theory that I actually find kind of, well, they're all interesting, but I like this one.
Right. So there are some researchers, actually one published study in the ADA journal, Diabetes, noted that increases in catecholamines, those are your fight or flight hormones, epinephrine, we know adrenaline, may be causing the liver to pump out more glucose than it normally would.
Exactly.
And so now you're, and then of course, if you combine that with all the other issues,
right?
Then
let's make sure we're following this correctly, because you have these hormones, catecholamines. These are what I call sympathetic drivers. Sympathetic nervous, like boom, run, run, get going.
Yeah.
And basically, it tells the liver, we need energy. We're doing something. We're having a weird dream. I mean, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue. Like we're not sure why they're being released. But these catecholamines are essentially telling the body, we need energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we need energy for some reason right now, even though we're sleepy.
Right.
We need energy for some reason. And the liver responds. And when you're in that state of needing energy, did you know these catecholamines can suppress insulin?
Well, because insulin is saying store,
right?
And the catecholamines are saying release,
burn. Yeah. So it's all very interesting.
I think it's a cool phenomenon, and there are so many. When you look at just the circadian rhythm aspect, it gets even more complicated.
I know, but why? I wonder, and I asked you this, and you couldn't find, I don't think you could find any research or information on this, but my thought was, so you know you go through stages of sleep.
Oh, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And REM sleep is a very active brain sleep time, right? Mm-hmm. And energy's needed. I mean, the brain's, right? It needs energy for that. I was wondering, is that when the catecholamines are released, like during that stage?
Yeah, and I didn't find that. Not saying that that's not the case. To me, that I was hoping to see something
like that. Yeah, but it's not out there. We couldn't find it.
But that's not what I'm seeing in the research. But hey, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a researcher,
yeah,
you know, give us some comments.
Yeah. Teach us
in the chat sure.
So it could be a pancreas issue. At night, not releasing insulin. It could be just an insulin sensitivity. This could be pre-diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be this catecholamine-related thing.
Right. And then let me throw in one more bonus.
Oh.
It could be what you're eating before you go to bed.
We're going to get to that. No, wait. We're going to get to that. It's possible that all of that is possible. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, it's multifactorial, mm-hmm. right? And isn't that interesting? The more and more I'm in this longevity industry, this nutritional industry, you know, that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. The more and more I am appreciating how multifactorial most of our issues are. And like, right? Yeah.
Yes, because we often want to just say, this is it.
Yeah, no, that's how they train you in conventional medicine. You know, that's your, here's your symptom, here's the diagnosis, here's your pill. You know, and forget about all the organs.
forget about what that pill's doing.
Forget about everything else. Very linear.
Right.
And you're realizing you get out in the real world, and most doctors realize this pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. It's not, that's just really for learning.
That's a good point.
It's not really how you apply mm-hmm. your understanding in clinical practice. But anyways, that's just a little side. So let's get into, let's assume we're having dawn phenomenon. Let's just assume we are.
I assume that I was at one point in my life.
I don't know.
But Dr. Mike thinks that, you know.
I don't know how would you know that?
Because remember I told you I was having this moment where I was waking up every night and I was snacking in the middle of the night.
I
would wake up and was just like, I just need to poop. And I would go and get a snack.
And this was outside of being pregnant.
Maybe it started when I was pregnant. And I started looking into why that was happening.
Okay.
And someone was saying, you're having some glucose variation. Something is happening when you're sleeping with your glucose and it's waking you up.
To make that make sense, mm-hmm. what tells me is that you actually probably have a very normal insulin sensitivity because your liver, let's say it's the catecholamine thing going mm-hmm, on, right? Mm-hmm. Catecholamine. Mm-hmm. And the liver says, we need energy. So the liver dumps out the glucose. Your pancreas and your insulin are optimal. So that insulin gets released, drives that sugar in the cell, and now you drop.
Dr. Mike!
And now you wake up hungry.
You just diagnosed me. That's it. I bet it's stress.
Yeah. Yeah. So your response to waking up wanting to eat is actually telling me you have a normal.
Yeah. The glucose is going in.
Right. You don't have an insulin sensitivity.
And now.
Issue. There you go.
I want some food.
So, I just fixed you.
Thank you. Which takes us to.
My bill will show up in the mail in about 2 weeks.
It usually takes 4 or 5 weeks, and then you can't even remember. Yeah, what is this for?
You just can just tell me.
Okay, so what can you do about this? And I'll share my story when we get to that section. But you wanted to talk about sleep hygiene first.
I do, because I'm interested. Okay, I'm leaning more towards the catecholamine theory. Mm-hmm. Still can't. I'm still not sure what's going on there. But I'm because it when you follow it step by step, what's happening in the dawn mm-hmm. phenomenon makes sense with catecholamines initiating it. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people's pancreas makes plenty of insulin. It's not an issue unless you're a type 1 diabetic. Come on. Most people. And now, so that one I'm not sure. Now, insulin sensitivity, yes. That's there. That's a player. But it's the catecholamine one that.
So do you think it's like the chronic stress and the cortisol and maybe not enough melatonin, which is blocking cortisol because cortisol is leading that stress response?
I was thinking it's more maybe like adrenal fatigue type picture.
Oh.
Because in adrenal fatigue, you've lost that normal cortisol diurnal or the normal spiking mm-hmm. of cortisol mm-hmm. is messed up. And what you see with people with adrenal fatigue, either number one, their spikes are dramatic, or number two, they don't spike at all anymore. Instead, their level's just high all the time.
Ah.
And so I'm wondering if this is not a pancreas issue, an adrenal issue.
Woo. Maybe it's multifactorial.
That's right. So because of that, because I'm leaning more towards that mm-hmm. that kind of thing, mm-hmm. I think first off, if that's the case, are there things you can do in preparing for sleep that might help to combat some of that catecholamine, right? And
yes.
So we did this whole... live show
yesterday.
That was just yesterday. That's right. We did this whole live show on basically with sleep hygiene, mm-hmm. and in that there's this time of day towards the evening, you know, where you got to start winding down. Mm-hmm. You said about 2 to 3 hours.
Yes.
Before mm-hmm. your bedtime. And I'm thinking, okay, is there things I can do during that wind down period? Not just the basic things we talked about. Keep it dark. Mm-hmm. You know, remember, like, don't be looking at your phones and stuff like that.
Yes.
I'm thinking more, is there something I can take? Is there something I can drink? Is there something that might help to raise my parasympathetic system in the brain?
Yes.
The calming neurotransmitters to help offset that catecholamine release at 3 a.m.
I like where you're going. Some of the things that we talked about, you know, the chamomile, the lemon balm, theanine, even the meditation or the yoga.
Meditation,
before
yoga.
Bed.
Yes, yeah.
And now something else came to me is the alcohol before bed. I wonder if there's that association.
See,
because
good point.
The alcohol, you know, a few hours after it's metabolized,
you get
the spike.
Yep.
In those catecholamines.
Yeah, you're up. So it's alcohol is a depressant, but in withdrawal, it causes you to be sympathetic. Up.
Right.
That's why people get anxious.
So I like that. Ah! So sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Start there.
So some tea, whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and the whole point is get serotonin higher, get GABA higher in your brain, mm-hmm. and maybe that can offset.
Yeah. So that's a solution or strategy one. Strategy two, this is what I started doing. Avoiding carbs before bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little nighttime snack, but you make it protein and whole grains.
Yep.
So if you can do, I like peanut butter or almond butter.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like
have
almond butter a lot.
I have this really good hearty whole grain bread. It's like nuts
now
and
let's
seeds.
Let's make this clear. Uh-huh. Whole grain.
Not whole wheat.
Yeah, not whole wheat, not refined grains.
Whole grain. Or just something with a fiber.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of
fiber
look
and a protein put together.
That fiber
is good.
And that protein. I would do
and
started
protein,
doing a protein shake before
and that fills
bed.
You up. Fills you up nicely. Because remember, we're getting ready to go to bed.
Right.
So we're talking about snacks. We're not talking about meals.
Right.
Snacks.
Just a little something.
Yeah.
And I found that when I would sleep like a baby. I wouldn't wake up. And so now that's something that I do.
Yeah, I like that. I wonder, you know, I think, you know, the high protein is probably, you know, fills you up and it keeps the sugars down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a better stage, a better environment for getting into those stages of sleep and stuff.
Yes. So that's a strategy. Exercise. There's research showing exercising regularly. It doesn't matter.
Right. Anytime.
Any time of the day can suppress the rise in glucose during the night.
Yeah. Just a recent study just came out showing that people that exercise are more likely to do the 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Mm. And then years ago, I saw this one. This was when the big push was to get our elderly population just out even walking for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Those that did that, they slept better.
How about that?
Just walking, right?
Well, you know, I think a part of that is getting outside. It's the circadian rhythm,
yeah.
Because when you're out, the more daylight sun exposure that you have during the day, it's more of telling the body it's daytime,
yeah.
And then
when the lights go down,
yeah.
you're ready to, mm-hmm. yeah. When you follow that normal day night pattern, in a sense. You're going to, like we talked about sleep hygiene and that mm-hmm. wind down period, you kind of wind down naturally.
Right.
Right? Unless you take your laptop or whatever, or hit the table. You take your laptop or your smartphone, you're staring at it, whatever. But that kind of stuff has to go away, mm-hmm. right, during that wind down period. Yeah, this is fascinating to me. Oh, no, wait, we got to say one more thing. If insulin sensitivity is the issue here, And so we should also talk about that a little bit. There are things you can do. Obviously, diet, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
lower, you know, focus on more of the complex carbs, less the simple ones, yeah. all that kind of stuff. But there are certain supplements or nutrients that I think can be helpful. Lipoic acid is great for insulin.
That's a good one. Clove is good.
Clove, yeah.
For blood sugar. Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, fantastic.
Oh, cinnamon is one of my favorites.
Yeah, so... again, that maybe that if that's the case, what we're really doing is we are treating the prediabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And so that's something we have to probably throw in there as well.
Oh, and chromium. I forgot about chromium.
Chromium actually is one of the few nutrients that the FDA allows you to make a claim of treatment with sugar. Like you can say chromium lowers blood sugar.
I need to find that exact claim, and I'm going to shout it to the rooftop.
So there you go. So what we're talking about is sugar spikes at night. It seems weird. You're sleeping. You're fat. Like, what's going on? A lot of interesting theories, but at the end of the day, we don't want sugar spikes.
Yes. Oh, we did want to talk about the continuous glucose monitor.
Oh, you can, because if you're really interested. Tell them about it.
Yes, they recently approved now over the counter, and it's kind of it just sticks in your arm. You probably see people wearing them here, there. They're becoming pretty popular with the longevity enthusiast community. But it's a great way, and it connects to your smartphone, and there's an app, and it tells you.
You can see the spikes.
What's happening 24 hours a day.
There you go. And yet again, we don't want sugar spikes. That's the key thing, right? Mm-hmm. Night or day.
I know.
We don't want sugar spikes. All right, there you go. Listen, you can go to liveforevers.com. How many podcasts now over there? Over about 450?
About 450.
450 podcasts.
Weekly, two a week.
Yeah, you can check out a bunch there. Please, when you download it, please like. That helps. Mm-hmm. Definitely share. That helps. But definitely subscribe.
For sure.
So you never miss a show.
Whatever aggregate you use.
Whatever it is. Become a family member of Live Foreverish podcast. That's at liveforeverish.com. Our sponsor wants to say thank you. Go to lifeextension.com when you're there. Shop around. And when you're ready, at checkout, put in the discount code podcast. You get 10% off, $50 or more, plus free shipping and handling. That's at lifeextension.com. I'm Dr. Mike.
Dr. Crystal.
Thanks for listening.